We're going to read the Bible now. Hopefully you've got a Bible on your way in. Chris is going to come and read for us. We're on page 1182, right at the bottom, and we're continuing our series in Colossians. So we're going to read Colossians chapter 1, verse 24.
Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become his servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in all its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in the spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
This is God's word. Thanks so much. Pray together for the Lord's help as we look at these verses. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you've given us the richness of your word. We thank you that it teaches us, it admonishes us, it trains us in righteousness. We thank you that it reveals Christ to us. And we pray this morning that you would grow us as we look at this passage in Colossians. Amen. I'm very excited to present to you the Berry Street Community Church growth plan. I can't keep a straight face. Here it is. The Berry Street Community Church growth plan. We want more people here, don't we? We want more people here. We want more believers to trust Jesus. We want loads of people to flock in the building. So here it is. The Berry Street Community Church growth plan. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to be more entertaining from next week. We're going to be more entertaining. We're going to be a bit more lively with stories and comedy. I'm going to try and be funny. We're going to have some more drama. Sound all right? We're going to be more entertaining. We're going to have a livelier experience on a Sunday morning, okay? I haven't talked to the elders about this, but we're going to paint the room a darker color. We're going to turn the lights down. We're going to... I've been looking on eBay at smoke machines. I don't know why you're laughing. Dry ice, smoke machines. We're going to have a livelier experience. We're going to have more time of reflective prayer. And then we're going to have better music. Sorry. Sorry. We're going to get a drummer.
Electric guitar.
Electric guitar. In fact, I think that's a bit lacks nuance. I think what we're also going to have some Sundays is a big choir. Okay? Livelier experience, better music. And you know those old songs? You know the ones? We're going to get rid of them. We're going to get rid of the old songs. Okay? We're just going to sing new, modern, fun songs. And most importantly, for the Berry Street Church growth plan to work, we're going to ditch some of the weird Bible stuff. Okay? Sound all right? And I think if we do this, more people will come. As people will start to talk about Berry Street, it's atmospheric, it's lively, the pastor's really funny. It's entertaining. They're not those weird Christians. Now, I couldn't keep a straight face because I know most of you, and I know that most of you know this is a joke. And I know that most of you, if I genuinely presented this, would get cross, and rightly so. So just to be very clear, this is not the Bury Street Church growth plan. But as we just think about these kinds of things, I wonder if there's little temptations in our hearts to think maybe more people would come if we got rid of some of the really old songs. Maybe more people would come if we got rid of some of the weird Bible stuff. I wonder if you feel that little temptation, that draw a little bit. Maybe more people would then come. And we'd grow bigger. There'd be more people here, even when it's half term. I wonder if you feel that temptation. Well, we're not going to do that. But what will we do if we're to grow? Now, I think it needs to be said that there is wisdom in genuinely thinking carefully about what it looks like to have a welcoming environment and a welcoming space and a service that makes people feel that they're allowed to be here and a service that genuinely helps people. I do think there's wisdom in thinking carefully about the songs that we sing and the way that we have our experience on a Sunday morning. I think there's wisdom in those things. So I don't want to be dismissive of that. But if we think that growth will come purely by those kinds of things, we're misdirected. Over the last few weeks, as many of you know, we've been meeting the Colossian church in the book of Colossians. So we've been going through this letter to the Colossian church. We've called them Christ Church Colossae. And over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about how Paul is trying to help them stay healthy as a church. So maybe you remember over the last couple of weeks, we've thought about these two things. These two things, a big Jesus and the crucial cross, are going to help the Colossian church stay healthy. If they have real clarity about how enormous and glorious Jesus is, if they have real clarity about how the crucial cross gets them from being alienated enemies to reconciled friends, they're going to stay healthy. And that's true of us here. We need to have a big view of who Jesus really is, the one who made the red leaves. We need to have a really clear understanding of how crucial the cross is for our relationship with God. That will help us stay healthy. But if we want to grow, how are we going to do that? And so how do you help a healthy church grow? That's what I want us to think about this morning. I wonder what your instinctive answers might be. Anyone want to offer some suggestions? How do we help a healthy church grow?
Put the word out.
Put the word out, as in tell people that it's, yeah, in the great, yep, yep. Any other thoughts?
Preach the truth.
Preach the truth, great. Here's another way of putting a similar question. How do you help a healthy Christian grow? I think this morning Paul gives us two ways to help a healthy church grow. And the first one is this. Trust Paul. Trust Paul. There's a real danger for the Colossian church that they drift away from Paul, that they stop listening to Paul. I don't know if you noticed it there in chapter 2, verse 4. I tell you all these things that I've just said to you. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. There's a real danger that the Colossian church get deceived away from Paul and his message about Jesus to other stuff. Just get some better lighting. Buy the smoke machine. Stop saying the Paul stuff and just say the Jesus stuff and more people will come. There's a real danger that the Colossian church get persuaded away from Paul and the real Jesus. And so he wants them to trust him. I think it's really strange. I don't know if you noticed this. Have a look at, just glance over chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. Do you remember those verses that we've looked at? It's all about Jesus. All about Jesus, those eight verses, all about Jesus. Nothing else he's the central thing in those verses. And then suddenly in verse 24, Paul changes tack. He starts to talk about himself loads. He's been talking all about Jesus. Now he starts talking about himself. Verse 24, now I rejoice in what I'm suffering. I fill up in my flesh. Verse 25, I've become. Verse 29, to this end I strenuously contend. 2, verse 1, I want you to know. Verse 2, my goal. Verse 4, I tell you. Verse 5, though I am. Why suddenly this shift from talking about Jesus loads to talking about Paul loads, talking about himself loads? Is it sort of some sort of arrogance, some sort of look at me? Why is he doing this? Pardon? Paul is in his body, yeah, but he's trying to persuade them to trust him. And so he gives them 4 reasons that they should trust him. 4 brief reasons that they should trust him. Trust Paul because he says, trust me, and so we trust Paul because he's a suffering servant. Just notice through these verses his effort for the Colossian church. He rejoices, verse 24, in what he's suffering for them. He rejoices in what he's suffering for them. Now, verse 24, people have written loads about verse 24 because it sounds like he's saying there's something lacking in Jesus, and in some way he is. Now, I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. It sounds a little bit like Christ didn't do enough at the cross. But he's just told us that Christ did everything that was needed at the cross. So I think what he's saying here is Christ hasn't made you mature as a church yet. And I, Paul, am suffering and taking on the pain in my flesh of trying to make you mature. I strenuously contend to try and help you be mature as a church. I am suffering for you for the sake of his body, the church. And he's become, verse 25, a servant of the church. Verse 29, notice the language. To this end I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ powerfully works in me. 2, verse 1, I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you. This deliberate, determined effort for the Colossian church. He's their suffering servant. Like a boxer training for a fight or an athlete training for the Olympics, he works tirelessly, not for a prize of a gold medal or a belt around his waist, but for their good. He's their suffering servant. And he's trustworthy because he's appointed by God. I wonder if you noticed that in verse 25. I've become its servant. Servant of the church, I've become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in all its fullness. Paul is not a kind of self-proclaimed CEO. He started a little business and it's grown and it's grown, and he's now like, we need a CEO. Oh, I should do that. No, God, on the road to Damascus, God intervened. He met the Lord Jesus. And Jesus gave him a commission to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And so it's God's appointment of Paul. And so trust Paul because God appointed him to the task. And what is his task? Well, the task that he's been given is to present to the Colossians and to all the Gentiles, those who weren't Jews, to present to them the word of God in all its fullness. What is that? Well, it's like a mystery that had been kept hidden for ages and generations, but now it's been disclosed to the Lord's people. What is the mystery? It's that the Gentiles, those people who weren't Jews, can access God through Christ. Love that phrase at the end of verse 27. The glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. By the Spirit, the Lord Jesus comes to dwell in his people. Christ is in you by the Spirit. And because Christ is in you, you have all that is his and you have the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what Paul is seeking to tell them, because it's God's appointed message for them. So trust him because of the message he's got. Verse 28, he, Christ, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. He is the one we proclaim. And Paul's goal, trust him because of his goal. What is his goal? I think there are two ways in which he describes his goal. Anybody want to venture them? End of verse 28, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Paul is not about making a name for himself. Paul is not about numbers in the church. Paul is not about achieving success, whatever success might be. Paul wants churches and Christians mature in Christ. And then chapter 2, verse 2. My goal, where he makes it explicit, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. He wants God's people encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul's desire, his hope for us as a church, and you and me as Christians, is that we would be united in love, encouraged in heart, that we would have the full riches of complete understanding of Christ. It's simply his desire, his goal, that you know Christ. And that you come to know Christ, and then you go on knowing Christ more and more and more and more. That you might kind of bathe in the riches of who Jesus is. He wants you to understand Christ. And so he says, trust me for these reasons. Trust me because I'm suffering for you. Trust me because God appointed me to proclaim Christ to you. Trust me because I desire that you grow to maturity in Christ. I don't go listening to loads of other people who distort the message or tweak the message or offer you other things other than Christ. Trust Paul. I think if we want to grow as a church and as Christians, one of the best things we can do is read loads and loads and loads of Paul's writing. 25% of the New Testament, Paul. You want to grow? As a Christian, as a church, read the Apostle Paul. And because the danger is we think, oh, there are some people who aren't sure about Paul, and maybe they're right, and so I'll just kind of sideline Paul and only listen to Jesus. And it's a good desire to want to listen to Jesus, but Jesus appointed Paul, and so we need to listen to Paul. I was at a kind of seminar. It was back in COVID. It was a seminar online teaching about a particular aspect of the Christian faith. And there was another minister there, and they basically said, frankly, I don't like Paul. Referring to some passages in 1 Corinthians and in Galatians, this minister said, I just think he's rude, obnoxious, and I don't like him, so I don't listen to him. And that's a genuine thing that happens in churches. People sideline Paul. Or more popularly, people say, I'm not sure about Paul. I don't really like what he says about marriage. I don't really like what he says about obedience. So I don't really want to listen to Paul. I'm just going to listen to Jesus. And it's a genuine danger. But Paul gives these four reasons why we should listen to him. And so will you let Paul, as he says he wants to, in verse 28, will you let him, where's admonish? Pardon? 28, thank you. Verse 28, here's the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone. Will you let Paul admonish you? Slightly, in some sense, tell you off, correct you, reshape your thinking. Six of us were at the A10 Cafe yesterday for the men's Bible study, and we were reading 1 Timothy 4, and there was a genuine, it was a real joy for me and a real help to me, but there was a genuine sense of, oh, Paul wants us to grow. Paul wants us to be growing to be more like Christ. Paul wants us to be more godly. Paul wants to help us. And even in that moment, in that hour at the men's Bible study, we were sensing that if we listen to Paul, we'll grow, and that is what will happen. If we trust Paul, if we listen to him, we will grow. The church will grow. It's partly why in Bible studies on Tuesday nights a few months ago, we did 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Just wanted to hear from Paul and listen to him and see what he had to say. Let him instruct us. And I think this is going to be especially important over the next few weeks, because up to Christmas, we're going to get into the second half of Colossians. And over some of the chapters in Colossians, Paul's going to say some hard things to us about our behavior. And if we dismiss him, it's really easy to be like, well, I don't really listen to Paul, so I don't really need to listen to him telling me to live a certain way. But if we really trust Paul, if we really listen to him, then when he teaches us in the latter chapters of Colossians, we'll obey him and listen to him carefully. And so if we want to be a healthy church that grows, we need to trust Paul. But I think Paul would be cross if we stopped there. Paul would be annoyed because he'd be like, no, but I don't want you to just trust me. I want you to trust the one who I'm teaching you about. And so here's, more briefly, the second part of our church, our true church growth plan. If we want to grow as a church, to be increasingly mature as a church, which I hope we do, then we need to trust Paul and stick with Jesus. See, the danger is we think, well, we need Jesus, and then I need some good behavior or good works or rule-keeping or particular spiritual experience to help me grow, to get closer to God. But if you're a Christian here this morning, if you're trusting Christ, you've been made a reconciled friend. And so your relationship is secure. And what you get to do now is simply grow into the fullness of that. Grow in appreciation of that. Enjoy that more. As you get to know Christ more, you get to see more of how wonderful it is that he's saved you from being an alienated enemy to a reconciled friend. Nothing else other than the cross of Christ is needed for your relationship with God to be safe and secure. And so simply now we stick with Christ and grow in him. Verse 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ in you when you keep the rules, the hope of glory. Not Christ in you when you have that particularly special spiritual experience, the hope of glory. Just simply Christ in you. That is your hope of glory. He is your hope of glory. And 2 verse 3, if you want to know more about anything, frankly, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's I guess you're familiar with the kind of joke about Sunday school answers. The leader asks a question, and somebody at some point, one of the children, if there's a silence long enough, is going to say Jesus. As a Sunday school learns that lots of things are about Jesus, they discover and think that maybe the best thing to do is just say, when there's a silence, Jesus. And the Sunday school teacher always kind of goes, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that is what Moses is talking about. Yeah, And yet there's a sense in which Paul is saying here, if you have questions about anything to do with life and the world and godliness, there are answers to be found in Christ, who is wisdom and knowledge. In him are unplumbable depths of wisdom and knowledge. treasures. And so as you know him better, you discover them and enjoy them more. And so here is where Paul lands in 2 verse 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. This picture of a tree. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. A friend of mine that I worked with for a little while had this phrase. I think it was probably stolen. It was this phrase: the way into the Christian life is the same as the way on in the Christian life. The way in is the way on. The way into the Christian life is to trust Christ and know him. And the way on in the Christian life, the way to grow in the Christian life, the way to keep going as a Christian is to know and trust Christ. It's not that you become a Christian by trusting Jesus and then do something else to grow as a Christian. No, you come to know and trust Christ, become a Christian, and then to grow, you keep on knowing and trusting Christ. And so the picture here is of being rooted in Christ, putting roots into Christ. When you have a little root, you become a Christian because you're rooted in Christ. And over time, you grow into a great big Christian tree by putting down deep roots into Christ, knowing the treasures of wisdom and knowledge more and more, understanding who he is more and more, why he died more and more, why he rose more and more. And you grow as a Christian into a great big tree. And the same is true for churches. As we put down roots into Christ and grow deeper into Christ, we grow as a church. The way in is the way on. Maybe it's helpful for you to think of an ocean. And perhaps somebody who has just become a Christian is kind of paddling in the shallows. They have all the blessings of being in Christ. They're completely reconciled friends. All their sins are forgiven. They have the hope of glory. And yet there are depths to plumb of the riches of Christ, to swim in, to scuba dive in. And you could spend your life paddling in the shallows as a Christian, fully reconciled to God. You could spend your life growing in maturity and plumbing the depths of Christ. Now, what does that look like? I think it mainly looks like enjoying God's word, reading it, studying it, looking at what Paul says, listening to what Paul says, allowing him to teach you about Christ, reading the Gospels and seeing who's Jesus, what does he do, what's he like, why does he die, why does he go to the cross, why does he rise, what does that mean for me? Plumbing the depths of God's word, reading the Old Testament and saying, how does this point me to Jesus? How does this help me to see Christ more clearly? How does it fill out my understanding of who he is? And it might be that you think about reading the Bible and you're like, I don't really know where to start. If that's you, I'd love to talk to you about that. I'd love to read it together and plumb the depths together. But here's what might feel like an anticlimactic church growth plan. Here it is from Paul this morning. How do you help a healthy church grow? You trust Paul and what he teaches, and you stick with Christ. Think we can do that as a church over the coming weeks and months and years? Trust Paul, keep listening to him, and stick with Christ. I hope we can. Let's pray to that end. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we don't need to invent strategies for church growth. Now, we don't need to come up with wild and wonderful solutions. You have given us means of growth. You've given us the riches of your word. You've given us the gift of the Apostle Paul, who makes known the mystery of the gospel, Christ in us, the hope of glory. He makes it known. You've given us Jesus himself. And so we pray, please, for each one of us, please would you help each of us as believers to grow in Christ, to understand him more deeply, to know him more closely, to walk with him more faithfully. And please would you help us as a church to be a church that trusts the Apostle Paul and sticks with Christ for the weeks ahead, the months ahead, the years ahead. Our Father, we want to pray that if Jesus hasn't returned yet, we want to pray that there would be a church here in this community that is holding out the words of life that Paul speaks about Jesus. Please would you do that work in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.